Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of the Cyril Quinn Review on this 14th of December 2013. As we go for the next hour talking about the world of sports, I'm your host, of course, Cyril Quinn. The call number, as always, is 347-215-6180. Follow me on Twitter, at William Jurl. Hit me up on Facebook.com/CyrilQuinn or go to my website, CyrilJurlQuinn.com. Busy weekend in the world of sports, especially with the NFL, in terms of the NFL playoff picture, which, you know, in the AFC is, you know, the top teams are looking shaky, to say at least. Not a real dominant number one as we thought there was at the beginning of this year and for most of this year in terms of the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos on Thursday night not only lost to all of a sudden a hot San Diego team, and a San Diego team that they get in the playoffs are going to be dangerous. San Diego is 31-6 in the month of December and January since 2006. So this is typical for them to be playing great football coming down the stretch. Phillip Rivers has been tremendous this year. Not only did they lose to San Diego, they were absolutely dominated at home in Denver against San Diego. Dominated. The game was not even as close as the score indicated, to be honest with you. So, to me, it raises major. That was a telling loss by the Denver Broncos. And those questions about Peyton Manning in the cold, Denver in the cold, are going to come up. And they're going to be questions until Denver wins the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning in cold weather. Because, remember, this year the Super Bowl is outdoors in New York or in New Jersey. Sorry, New York, but it is. It's in Meadowlands, it's in New Jersey. But, you know, you hear Peyton Manning, and, you know, it's kind of karma has a funny way of working. Peyton Manning, after a Tennessee game, you know, feeling good about himself, at, you know, against the Tennessee Titans, who everybody can score on, you know, and throw a ball against. Denver puts up 51 points. Manning feels a question about him playing in the cold and his record in the cold weather. And he basically responds, unpaid Manning like, you know, they can shove it. Those people who question me basically can shove it. And easy to say that after you throw for probably 400 yards, close to 400 yards, and you needed almost 60 passes to do it, okay, against the Tennessee Titans. As almost, it was like he was trying to prove to us that he could play in cold weather. Threw the ball 59 times in that game. Yeah, put up 51 points. Then you come back in this game, and the offense scores a low in terms of points, yards. And San Diego this year defended Denver better than anybody. In two games, Denver didn't crack 30 points against San Diego, not once in two games. First game they played San Diego, they had 28 points. They would be putting 40 against everybody, putting up 40 against everybody else. The one other game they didn't crack 30 was against Kansas City the first time they played them. They scored 27. So since there's something that obviously defensively that San Diego knows has been doing that eludes the rest of the NFL, to be honest with you, in terms of the other teams that have played Denver. But again, the comment Manning made after the Tennessee game, again, was not like him to be, you know, that sensitive about something somebody said about him. Normally, you would say he takes a high road and keeps it moving. They have major issues. I don't trust Denver as far as I can throw them. As far as the AFC goes, they have some, again. You know, Welker has had concussions. Again, Manning in the cold. That defense is not. That defense can be. You can move the ball on the Denver defense. It's not a big time defense. I know Von Miller has had some moments. You know, Camacho has played well this season, but that you can throw. You absolutely can throw the ball against that secondary. And again, even in a game where Phillip Rivers didn't crack 200 yards passing, Ryan Matthews and San Diego just physically pushed Denver around the field. So you have a situation in the AFC, and then you have New England, no Gronkowski. You don't trust Cincinnati. Indianapolis is, you know, Cincinnati and Indianapolis are two teams that are products to me of just bad divisions. Yeah, they're going to win their, you know, they're going to win their division based on almost not big borderline by default. Those divisions are just bad. Houston, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh are not what Houston, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh have been over the past 3-4 years, especially Houston and Pittsburgh. So again, this could be one of these years where you're looking, and especially in the AFC, because AFC, unless something catastrophic happens, Seattle's going to the Super Bowl in the AFC. Let's be honest. They have one game in the next three to get to clinch home field. They're going to do it. Nobody's beating Seattle in Seattle. I'd be shocked. But in the AFC, you know, people have been asking me who are my Super Bowl picks. I'll say Seattle and I don't know. That's why, because in AFC, I just don't have a sense of who, you know, I don't feel comfortable with any of those teams in the AFC, to be honest with you. And it starts at the top with, again, Denver and New England. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review as we approach Christmas, just 11 days away. Purchased my first gift, yesterday, so felt happy about that. Kind of like getting those first points on the board in a NFL game. Get that first gift, gives you more motivation. Not too much, not a lot of motivation, but gives you enough motivation to carry you to purchasing, buying more gifts. 347-215-6180. A lot going on in the world of college football. We'll talk about that coming up on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Heisman Trophy tonight. Shouldn't be too much drama. If Jameis Winston is not your Heisman Trophy winner, then there should be an investigation. No pun intended. He's been cleared of any, of course, wrongdoing with not being charged with rape. We know about that. It's going to come down to a matter of how many votes does he get how close is this thing going to be. I found very curious that, and I normally don't watch the College Football Awards, but I wanted to see how many awards, I mean, how he would do in those awards. Did not win the Walter Camp Award, which I found just perplexing. That went to A.J. McCarron. Walter Camp is a award for most outstanding player. I don't know how he does not sweep every single award, offensive award in college football. He was clearly the dominant offensive player in all college football, but found that curious. I don't think that will lead to him not winning the Heisman. I don't think he wins in a landslide. I think it'll be much closer than people expected, but he'll win comfortably. Like there won't be a doubt. It's not going to be a nail biting victory. So I think he'll finish first. I could see Johnny Manziel finishing second. A.J. McCarron probably finishes third. So that would be my predicted order. Winston, Manziel, and McCarron, 1, 2, 3. Nick Saban signs the extension with Alabama. Saban clearly taking advantage of what the chaos down in Austin, Texas with Mac Brown. We'll talk about that. Saban expected to make between $7.5 million a year. He deserves it. I mean, let's be honest. He's the premier coach in all college football, 4 national championships, 3 with Alabama. You have no problem, especially if you're an Alabama fan, with Nick Saban getting a raise that keeps him in Alabama for now. I mean, that's not to say he can't leave this time next year or the year after. This is going to be a year-by-year thing. His name, when a big job, especially in college football, comes up, Nick Saban's name is going to be mentioned because he is at the top of the coaching mountain in college football without question. For now, if you're Alabama, you can kind of take a deep breath and be happy that he's still your football coach. Mac Brown apparently wants to still coach, is going to meet with the athletic director Steve Harrison and President Bill Powers about his future at Texas. I mean, this story, do they want him? Do they not want him? Does he want to be there? Does he not want to be there? Apparently he wants to be there. And to me, I think they're both better off without each other, because they clearly, to me, don't want him there. Okay. They clearly don't want him there. They wanted Nick Saban in the worst way. Now it seems to me like the fact that Saban signed with Alabama, they don't feel like they have a plan B. There was no plan B, so now it's like, who was going to coach your team? Oh, Mac Brown. We didn't fire him. Let's keep. Oh, Mac, you still interested in the job? I mean, that's what it looks like to me. And then you have Mac Brown, who probably was close to resigning, but wanted to do it on his own terms. Finds out that ESPN claims that ESPN leaked the report and says, no, you don't. I'm retiring. I resigned on my own terms. You don't tell me when to resign. I want to keep the job now. So nobody really knows. It's almost like nobody knows what they want. And that creates situations like this where it's chaos and where you don't know what is going to be the end game to this. Here's the bottom line. Mac Brown's program for about a better part of a decade was a legit top 5 program in terms of wins. They would go to BCS games. They played in 2 BCS championships, winning one, that classic game against USC back in 2005 season. They were a top 5 program. He didn't miss on recruits, period. Last 5 years, Mac Brown can't get a quarterback to save his life. Despite the fact that the state of Texas right now has more NFL quarterbacks than any other state by far, currently playing, and despite the fact that when Jameis Winston wins the Heisman tonight, he would have missed on Manziel. Mac Brown would have missed on both Manziel, Winston, and also RG3. So he would have missed on 3 straight Heisman Trophy winners. Two of them in Manziel and Robert Griffin the third, coming out of the state of Texas. You can't, like, that, you know. So, you know, if Texas wanted to move on, I have no problem with Texas wanting to move on. But have a plan. You know, Texas should be a top five in terms of job quality of programs and resources, television network. Texas is probably considered to be the top, the number one job in all college football. We take all that into consideration: recruiting base, alumni, money, fans. You know, television network. They are Texas is the top. They probably are the top program. So you can't. I mean, you can't be missing on recruits in the state of Texas, especially quarterbacks. It just can't. It's not possible. It shouldn't be possible. Well, Mac Brown's proven it to be possible. But listen, coaches get older. We saw it in Florida State with Bobby Bowden. Even though Brown, I don't think Mac Brown is as old as Bobby Bowden was a few years ago. But still, coaches get older or just lose their touch, and it happens. And it's time to move on. I don't, you know, again, Texas to me doesn't have a plan to move on, and it's making the university look bad. And Brown, again, you have, and the way they're treating him, the way they are treating him, he deserves more respect for that because he did bring a national championship to that school, okay? And before he got to that school, Texas hadn't done anything previous before he got to that school in, you know, in the previous 10 to 15 years before he got to that school. So he put Texas back on the map, so he definitely deserves more respect than what they're giving him. But again, nobody knows what they want, and it's making for a just chaotic situation down in Austin. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Speaking of chaos, we will go to the nation's capital to discuss as the Redskins turn on this edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back.
Pick yourself up, take a deep breath, dust yourself off and start all over again. Nothing's impossible, I have found, for when my chance is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off and start all over again. Trip and pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start again. Work like a soul inspired, till the battle of the day is won. You may be sick and tired, but you'll be a man, my son. Will you remember the famous men who had to fall to rise again? So take a deep breath, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start over again.
Three four seven 215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, 14th of December, 48 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, the Redskin Report. Only just three more days to go. I'm doing my own little countdown, wanting to get this season over with for the Washington Redskins. So here's the Redskin week. Shanahan benches RG3. Deactivates RG3. Kirk Cousins to start. Rex Grossman to be number two. Daniel Snyder back. Shanahan move. Shanahan claims RG3 may play again. May play if other two quarterbacks get hurt or sick. Shanahan then says, you know, Kirk Cousins could turn into a number one pick if he plays well the last three games. Yep. That's the Redskin week in a nutshell. That's the Redskin week. Listen, Shanahan knew exactly what he was doing with the particular move. This was a move. You can't sit up here if you're Mike Shanahan and convince me by any stretch of imagination that you care about the health of RG3 post you know, moving forward. Shanahan had three opportunities last year to protect RG3. After he gets hurt in the Baltimore game on the not a hit, could have shut him down. Nobody would have screamed or complained. Your franchise guy, knee injury. Nobody. Running quarterback, knee injury, period. Okay. Second time, of course, the playoff game where he's limping even before he got hurt and against Seattle. And he, and of course, ends up tearing up his knee, which leads to, again, getting ACL surgery. Third time, starting off the season, okay, could have put him on a PUP list, gave him an extra 6 weeks to try to get ready physically, maybe, you know, get some football things, get more football acclimated before the season start. Could have went with Kirk Cousins. Nobody would have complained, not one iota. Not one iota. So don't sit up here and tell me that's three different times you had opportunity to protect RG3. Don't tell me now you want to put his interest, that his interest is in your that his interest physically is number one. I don't want to hear about it. This is Mike Shanahan sticking it to Daniel Snyder because no RG. The Redskins only have one home game left. And that's against Dallas. And, yeah, against Dallas. So, you know, even though it's not going to be a Redskin game. It's going to be a Dallas fan. There'll be probably 50,000. All right, I'm telling you right now. It'll be sold out. It'll be sold out. But you know why that game's going to be sold out? It's going to be about 50,000 Cowboy fans just smothering about 20,000 Redskin fans. So that's the only reason that game will be sold out. Because it's the Dallas Cowboys who probably will be still playing for a playoff spot in a division title. Okay, so you stick it to Daniel Snyder. You know, you try to turn yourself into a martyr, and you dare Daniel Snyder to publicly berate you, or even further, go out there and says, no, RG3 is going to play. He's not being deactivated. And, of course, Daniel Snyder was not going to do that. He didn't take the bait. So he had to kind of grit his teeth and say, we're on the same page. But he didn't want to, but he did anyway. Then the second shot you take is at RG3, of course. Quarterbacks want to play. Competitors want to play. Athletes in general love their numbers. Some athletes love them more than others. Don't tell me that Robert Griffin III is not aware that he still has opportunity, despite how poorly he's played this season, to get 20 touchdown passes and throw for 4,000 yards. Of course he has it, and of course he wants to get to those numbers, especially 4,000 yards. 20 touchdowns is not a big deal, but it looks better than throwing for 13, 14, 15, 16 touchdowns. 20 is a nice round number. 4,000 yards is a great number. You throw 4,000 yards, you've had, I mean, unless you've thrown a million interceptions, you've had a pretty good season. You throw 4,000 yards. So it's a lot, not too many. It doesn't, you know, it's a very good number for a quarterback. So, you know, Mike Shanahan's motives, we know what the motives were in this situation. And then don't insult us with Kirk Cousins being possibly playing this franchise until having their first round picks. He brings that up because the Redskins, of course, have no first round picks in this year's draft. So I guess he's trying to make you forget that. I think Shanahan is trying to make you forget about that fact that the Redskins don't have a first round pick, and they're basically playing for the Rams. So you can't even root for the Redskins to lose because it doesn't help them to lose. Doesn't help that right now the Redskins would have the number two pick in the draft. It was the draft for today. They would have the number two pick. Get a chance to get Jadeveon Clowney or a big time offensive or a big time offensive tackle, whoever that may be. But it's not going to happen because they don't have any number one pick. Oh, and by the way, the Redskins have, you know, three games. You know, at Atlanta, Dallas, and at the Giants to finish the season. But nobody cares about it. Nobody, see, that's the thing about the Redskins. Nobody cares about what's happening on the field. You know, the Redskins want you, you know, to talk about what's happening off the field to kind of, you know, make you forget that the fact that they are 3-10 and have been one of the worst looking teams in the NFL over the last 5 weeks. They don't want you to think about that. They don't. Talk about what's going on at Redskin Park. So, and of course you had Daniel Snyder. The reports that Daniel Snyder is not going to buy out Mike Shanahan. I find that very, very hard to believe, because Mike Shanahan is not going to quit. I guarantee you right now, Mike Shanahan is not going to quit. He's not walking away from $7 million. And listen, coaches, unlike players, know how to get their money. There's no loophole. There's nothing. There's no way Daniel Snyder is going to get away with not paying Mike Shanahan if he fires him. No, it's not going to happen. If he fires him, he's going to have to pay that $7 million next year, period. Oh, yeah, by the way, Redskins played the Falcons in a battle of playoff teams from 2013who have fallen on hard times for different reasons. Falcons have obviously legitimate excuses for being terrible. They've had a rash of injuries to many of their best players, and just, you know, it's just been one of those years. But they've been quiet about it. We haven't heard, you know, Matt Ryan and Mike Smith beefing, or Arthur Blank, you know, coddling Matt Ryan. We haven't heard any of that. We haven't heard any of those things. They've just been bad. And if you're just bad, just be bad. But the Redskins, they can't just be bad. It has to come with, you know, it has to be a complete soap opera. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we come back, we'll talk some NBA. A new record television rating for a regular season game. Yes, it did happen this week. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. NBA action, pretty good weekend in the association. You had, of course, that Pacer-Heat showdown on Tuesday. Highest rated NBA TV game of all time. NBA TV's been around about, I think, 11 years. I think it might be the 12th year. It hasn't been around too long, but about 11 or 12 years. Of course, they had that fan night. Good game. It was a very good game. Indiana showed you something. You know, winning at home, they didn't play well in the first half. They still had a million turnovers, which is something they need to calm down in the playoff series against Miami. But again, Indiana showed you something. Had a bad first half, great second half defensively. We all know, of course, that Miami has no answer for Indiana's inside attack, inside game with Hibbert and also David West. Indiana again also has multiple perimeter defensive players, and Paul George and Deshaun and Stevenson that can Lance Stevenson that can, you know, defend on a high level against LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and what have you. So pretty good game. It wasn't a great game, 90-84 defensive game. You know, and the right things were said. Listen, Indiana was up for the game without question. They wanted the game badder than Miami, much worse. Miami, I must say Miami went through the motions, but Miami, you know, even before the game, you know, Chris Bosh, you know, basically said, look, this is not the NBA championship. We, you know, it's still, it's a regular season game in December. So we're not in, nor if you're the two-time defending champions, you shouldn't make it out to be a must-win or a statement game. I mean, Miami understands the process. They understand, that they are just trying to stay healthy, and that's probably is their number one goal over the course of this season. But again, nice win for the Pacers, who are now at 20-3 on the season. Kobe Bryant, of course, is back. He made his debut last Sunday and struggled mightily against the Toronto Raptors. First three games, he's averaging only 11 points a game, about 7 assists, shooting 38%. Now, he has had a 20-point game and a 13-assist game, but clearly looks like a guy who, you know, had a ruptured Achilles. I mean, a torn Achilles. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, he looks like that guy. So, you know, it's going to take 15 to 20 games for him to get back into basketball, you know, just to get back in shape. I mean, first of all, you know, when in the press conference, and I was surprised to hear about this, considering how he is about his conditioning, in the press conference after the Toronto loss, he said that he was at 225. Kobe Bryant has never played at that weight. His playing weight has been anywhere from around 200 to 210 or 208 throughout the course of his career, 205. So he's overweight, period. He's overweight. He's not, you know, the explosion is not there right now. You get the sense that he's trying to find himself in terms of trying to just play himself into shape. Just play himself into shape, bottom line. So, you know, you're going to have these moments in these games where it doesn't shoot well, high turnovers. Lakers, of course, are 0-3 in his return. And, again, Kobe has not taken a lot of shots in these three games. Took 6 shots last night. Even in the game against we had 20 points, he only took 11 shots. He is not taking a ton of shots over the course of these three games, still trying to fit in. So I don't worry about Kobe. The biggest problem the Lakers have is this Gasol, D'Antoni riff. It's time for the Lakers to just, you know, now maybe they're hoping Gasol can play himself into – put together like 2 or 3 weeks of 2 weeks of quality basketball, so to raise his value. But it's not, I mean, the Lakers, you know, it's not going to work out with D'Antoni and Gasol. And the Lakers organization, their franchise, has clearly shown that they are going in the direction of Mike D'Antoni. I mean, that's all there is to it. He's not Mike D'Antoni can't coach big men. He's never been able to coach big men successfully. He's not like, that's not how he runs his offense. It's through, you know, he runs his offense. He's a 3-point shooting offense, spread the floor. He does not emphasize post play. Everybody knows that about Mike D'Antoni. And Paul Gasol, you know, Paul Gasol, who is not the player that he once was, just can't, you know, deal with that. So it's time for the Lakers to move on from that situation and try to get as much as possible for Gasol. And I think they can get, listen, I think Gasol has some value. I think the Lakers are going to wait probably to around the trade deadline, to around, you know, maybe before the trade deadline to try to move Gasol. But there's no way that I feel like Gasol finishes this season as a Los Angeles Laker. There's no way. Oklahoma City playing great basketball right now. Westbrook looking more explosive than ever, coming off the knee injury. Ibaka, you know, Kevin Durant, but Serge Ibaka has played great as well. The thing that's been surprising about Oklahoma City is how well their bench has played. We'll see how long that can keep up. But right now, you look at the Western Conference, also Houston got a good win over Golden State. Houston absolutely owns Golden State. They've beaten Golden State 19 out of the last 23 times that they played them. Harden played well last night in Golden State, by the way. Look at the Western Conference. You have three teams playing at a 800 clip in San Antonio, Oklahoma City, and I'm leaving out Portland. So it is very much top heavy. And then Dallas playing pretty good basketball. So I mean, you get a lot of quality teams in the Western Conference. Clippers had a bad loss this week against the Brooklyn Nets, and typical Clippers play down in competition. This is why you can't trust them. So I would not at all fear the Clippers, certainly in a big spot. In terms of the NBA playoffs. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we come back, we'll have another edition of Are You Kidding Me? That's coming up on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. After the 12 o'clock hour in this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, of course, and I should have mentioned this earlier in the program, but did not. Of course, you have the official season-ending game that always kind of closes out the college football season. Army, Navy, in Philadelphia, it's always a classic rivalry, one of the great rivalries in all of college football history. Obviously, the game means more than football in terms of our women and men who serve in the military. Just a tremendous, should be a great atmosphere down there at Lincoln Financial Field. A game that's always entertaining. Both teams, normally, again, if you like rushing attacks, you'll certainly love to watch this game. So looking forward to that. But now we have another segment of
Are You Kidding Me?
Kind of been away for a couple of weeks, but we're bringing it back. Greg Norman comes out this week and says that he could beat Tiger Woods in his prime. Greg Norman, who has made a ton of money Golf Hall of Famer, won the number of tournaments overseas and abroad, and even, you know, within the United States, but only for his talent. For his talent, one of the great underachieving golfers of all time. Only won two majors. We know how many majors he choked away, in particular the '96 Masters, to where Nick Faldo ended up winning. Greg, let's be realistic. I mean, come on, like, dude, Angel Cabrera, John Daly. You know, these are some of the guys that have Rory McIlroy. These are some of the guys that have at least two majors. Yeah, you know, this for Greg Norman to make that statement. I'm like, dude, he's choked away more majors, and for him to say that he would beat a guy who is as mentally tough as any player that has ever lived in Tiger Woods in his prime. Now, what he should have said is, I feel like in my prime, I could beat Tiger Woods the way Tiger Woods is playing now. Maybe. I still would put the money on Tiger, but maybe that I could kind of go with him with that. If he said he could beat Tiger Woods now in his prime, I still would go with Tiger, but it'd be more believable, put it to you this way. Then he'll say that he could beat Tiger Woods in Tiger Woods' prime. It's moronic. I mean, like, it's one of those statements you make when you've been out of headlines for a while. And yeah, Greg Norman, Greg Norman, I don't know if he's still married to, still dates Chris Everett. I don't know if that's still going on. But Greg Norman's had a great life. He's made a ton of money. He's had enormous influence on Australian golfers. They all revere him, all respect him. So, I mean, he's had a tremendous, you know, you'll sign up for Greg. You would take Greg Norman's athletic, you know, life. I mean, you would have to. Won a couple majors. But, like, calm down. I mean, say you beat Tiger Woods in his prime. Oh, my goodness. So, that brings back our segment of Are You Kidding Me? I had to start off with this one, with that. Jim Brown comments that Kobe Bryant, frankly, and I'm paraphrasing, frankly, isn't black enough.
Are you kidding me?
So earlier this week, on the heels of Bryant's comeback with the Lakers, Jim Brown, all-time great running back, one of the great athletes that North America has ever produced, let's be honest about that, comes out and said that if there was a world summit for all black people, Kobe Bryant would not be invited to the table. He wouldn't invite Kobe Bryant to the table. And he says the reasoning for this is because Kobe Bryant lived in Italy for 7 years, from 84 to 91, when he was ages 6 to 13. And that Kobe Bryant basically just doesn't, you know, I guess he doesn't feel Kobe Bryant understands the culture, black culture, or I can't rationalize what the hell Jim Brown is saying. It is one of the most ignorant comments that you'll ever hear. Kobe Bryant's 35 years old. Okay, so you do the math. He spent 7 years in Italy from ages 6 to 13. He's 35 years old. So he spent 28 of his 35 years in America as a black man. So because I guess he didn't grow up, you know, in South Central or in a predominantly black, you know, neighborhood, that he doesn't understand black culture or could not be viewed as a guy who influences black people, which is insane. And then Kobe Bryant has fans all over the world. I've never heard anybody African American or not say that Kobe Bryant was not black enough. I never heard that in my life. You know, I have a nephew right now, 8 years old, who's going to be living overseas for the next 2 years. Okay, he's 8, so he'll come back when he's 10. You know, I guess he wouldn't be invited to Jim Brown's table either, because maybe he's not considered to be black enough. I mean, just, you know, and Kobe responded, Kobe had a perfect response, basically saying that this is something that Mandela and Dr. King would not adhere to. And I can add one more name. I'll add Malcolm X. I mean, Malcolm X went to, it changed Malcolm X's life when he made the trip to Mecca and saw not only black Muslims, but Muslims of all races, including white Muslims. Changed his whole perspective. Enlightened him to another level. So, again, I don't know. Again, Kobe Bryant, Kobe, you know, said it right. First of all, the comment is out, clearly out of left field. And it's just beyond, it's beyond ignorant. Like, I'm getting, as an athlete, Jim Brown is all-time, just one of the all-time greats. But Jim Brown, and Jim Brown's done a lot in our communities in terms of in African-American communities, working with gangs. He's done a lot of great things. But that doesn't give him the right to say who's black and who's black enough and who's not black enough. I mean, it just doesn't. I'm sorry. And leads to me to another point that this is not the 70s anymore, man. This is 2013. You don't have the Muhammad Ali's. You don't have – this is not the 72 Olympics with John Carlos and Tommy Smith with the – you know, you know, with the fist in the air. It's a different time. It's a different time. It's you know, you want, if you want to challenge athletes for not standing up for what they believe in, fine. You can do that. You can do that all you want, but it's just not. It's not a. This is 2013. It's just not that time anymore. So that was, of course, Jim Brown's take on that on those particular subjects. Again, completely out of line. Very ignorant comments on Jim Brown's part. And again, I love Jim Brown as an athlete. I can't watch him enough. Those old Cleveland Brown tapes, and of course, he's a world class lacrosse player at Syracuse. But he was he's dead wrong about this. Coming up on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, week number 15 in the league where no contract is guaranteed, we will have NFL picks. That's coming up on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Number 15 in the league where no contract is guaranteed. December football, always fun watching. Playoff spots are on the line. Division titles are on the line. We begin in the Steel City, Pittsburgh, Sunday night football. Despite a 5-8 record, the proud Pittsburgh Steelers looking to spoil a division for the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati is only, there's two games up in the division, pretty much entrenched in that division for AFC North division title, but still, you know, to have an opportunity to maybe get home field advantage. They're only a game behind They're a couple game a game in lost column behind Denver. Behind Denver and New England. More likely it's not going to happen, but who knows. Cincinnati's a 2.5-point favorite. I don't trust Cincinnati if to save my life. I haven't been impressed with Cincinnati this year despite their 9-4 record. Again, I know Pittsburgh has struggled. I know 5-8, but the game is in Pittsburgh, and despite their struggles, it has not been because of Ben Roethlisberger or Antonio Brown. Ben Roethlisberger is on pace for 4,000. He's going to throw for 4,000 yards. He's going to get more than likely to 30 touchdowns. Antonio Brown, along with Calvin Johnson, should be first-team all-pro at the receiver position. Antonio Brown's had that kind of year, over 1,200 yards receiving, 90 catches. He has been off the charts good this year. I like, also, one last thing. Keep your eyes on the Ike Taylor-AJ Green matchup. AJ Green, of course, one of the best young receivers in all of football, but for whatever reason, he has had Ike Taylor during their meetings has given AJ Green fits. And again, Ike Taylor's not a great player, but he just matches up well with AJ Green. I'm taking the Steelers for the outright upset. I'll take the Steelers 27-21 in a game number one of NFL picks. Game number two, New England at Miami. You have New England fighting for home field advantage. Right now, New England is in a nice spot. They are tied. They are tied with Denver for home field advantage. They actually have the tiebreaker over Denver for home field advantage in the AFC. But right now, of course, New England all banged up with Gronkowski being hurt. Their record without Gronkowski was 5-1, but with Gronkowski, they looked like one of the best offensive teams in all of football. But this is the Patriots. They just somehow find a way, and I think that they will find a way to be a Miami team that, frankly, let's be honest, we talk about the chaos that's going on with the Redskins. Give Miami a lot of credit. Miami has circled the wagons and has really, really had a good season considering the Jonathan Martin and Rishi Incognito situation. Joe Philbin has done an excellent job, but I think that they will come up short in this game. I like New England to beat Miami. And again, New England just knows how to find a way. I like New England in a close game, 21-17. Game number three, New Orleans, 7-point favorites against St. Louis. Don't be fooled by the difference in stats. St. Louis, you know, is 5-8, not going to the playoffs in a tough division, but they've had some impressive victories this season. They destroyed Chicago a couple weeks back, and they also had their way at Indianapolis against the Colts earlier this season. They can have games where they can look like a playoff team. The Saints, we know, are a completely different team on the road. Saints at home average 33 points a game. On the road, they average 18 points. The Saints are just 3-3 on the road. I think the Saints win this game, but I think New Orleans, I'll take the Colts, the Rams with the points. So, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, I like Pittsburgh outright. New England, Miami, I like New England. I like New England to win a close game there. And New Orleans, St. Louis, I like New Orleans to win the game, but I'll take St. Louis with the points. Those are your week 15 picks in a league with no contract is guaranteed. We'll be right back. Thank you. 25 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour in this latest edition of the Cereal Corner Review. Of course, a couple games of note. Pat, Green Bay at Dallas, no Aaron Rodgers. I think Green Bay should just shut Aaron Rodgers down for the rest of the season. I mean, this week-to-week thing, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? I mean, just stop. Just shut him down for the rest of the season. I know Green Bay still has a chance for a division title because nobody, Detroit, Chicago, are not running away with that division. But let's be honest, I mean, nobody's beating Seattle. And I know a coach, I mean, McCarthy can't think like this, but it's not worth it. You're not, see, it's not like if you put Rodgers on the Packers that they're a Super Bowl team this year. The Packers, you know, have a number of injuries. The defense has slipped. Before he got hurt, they looked like they could be a dangerous team, but they have not, even without him, even besides the fact that he's been out, they still have kind of slipped defensively. It's not worth it. Sit him down for the rest of the season and just go with Matt Flynn. If you make the playoffs, great. If not, then so be it. Baltimore will play Detroit. Very interesting. Two teams who have contrasting characters as football teams. Detroit can't get right. Baltimore, I give them a tremendous amount of credit for fighting through what could have been a disastrous season coming off a Super Bowl and with everybody that they lost still in a position to possibly make the playoffs. Josh McCown will not. Jay Cutler is going to start over Josh McCown. I think that's a big mistake by Mark Trestman. Josh McCown, since entered the lineup when Jay Cutler got hurt against the Redskins, has played some of the best quarterback. Has played some of the best football of any quarterback in the league. Josh McCown has 13 touchdowns and one interception. The team is 3-2 with him, and even in their losses, he still look at. I mean, just look at his numbers in wins versus losses. In Chicago wins, he's thrown for 7 touchdowns, no interceptions. In Chicago losses, he's thrown 6 touchdowns and 1 interception. So they have not lost because of him. He's playing like a top, not saying he is a top 5 quarterback, but he's played over the past 5 weeks like a top 5 quarterback. He's played that well. And he's made himself a ton of money, I'll say that. But, of course, it seems like Chicago now has no choice but to sign Jay Cutler to an extension, if they're going to, I guess they want to see what they have in Jay Cutler. Again, if we're talking about in the best interest of the team and what quarterback gives the team the best chance to win right now, you can't tell me that a banged up Jay Cutler over a red hot Josh McCown gives the Bears a better chance to win right now as the Bears chase a playoff spot and also potentially a division title. So I think that's a mistake by Mark Trestman, but we'll see how it works out. Last Sunday, received some news that our program for 2013 was nominated as one of the best better podcasts, podcast awards by the New Media Group. A shocking honor for this program, for the year 2013, very humbling. I'm very excited that you, the fans, would vote for this program. We try to have a great program, try to have some fun, try to talk sports and get a little entertainment. But again, thanks to all the fans out there who voted, and thanks to all the fans out there who listen to these podcasts. We'll hopefully have a better 2014. Coming up next week, we're going to start a series of best of Cereal Corner Reviews 2013. Our first in that series of shows will be my interview with Malay Chester that took place back in July, so be on the lookout for that. That'll be a live program, so we'll talk about that. You'll see more about that as the days move along. Enjoy your weekend. I'll see you soon. So long.